Well, Merry Christmas. The two wise men of the Magi, who brought small gifts of frankincense and myrrh for the baby Jesus, glared at the third wise man, who clearly one-upped them by bringing solid gold. He tried to defend his expensive gift by saying the words that everyone born in December hates to hear. Well, this is for his birthday and Christmas. So I want to look at our passage in Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." So the title of the message this afternoon is Unwrapping Christmas. Wrapping paper, of course, hides the gift until the right time has come. And so how was Christmas unwrapped to those shepherds? Well, they were never going to find that baby on their own. God had to come, an angel had to tell them where the baby was. He's hidden in a manger. He's wrapped in a manger. No one would expect him to be there. The angel has to tell them this is where he is. But that's not all. I mean, they might have stumbled, others might have stumbled across Joseph and Mary and the baby and had absolutely no idea what the gift was. So the angel doesn't just tell them where the gift is, but what the gift is. To you today, a Savior has been born, who is Christ, the Messiah, who is the Lord. To be Savior, Messiah has to be the Lord. It has to be the Lord, God Himself coming down in human flesh, so that he can be the perfect sacrifice eventually for our sins. This is why the shepherds are watching over lambs. They are watching over the lambs that are going to be sacrificed in the temple for atonement. And so they are called to come and watch over the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Their Savior, their Messiah, who was the Lord, had come. So how do we unwrap Christmas today? First, I want you to know that Christmas is for you. It says this will be for all the people. This good news of great joy is for all the people. All the people includes you. So if you don't know the good news of great joy or don't own that gift, this listen up. This is for you. It is for all the people, he says to the shepherds, and he says, to you is born a Savior. It needs to become personal. We're all more excited about the gift that has our name on it. This gift has to become personalized. So to unwrap it, because it is certainly hidden today. To them, it was hidden in prophecy. It had been prophesied 900 years before when the angel says, "For unto you a child is born, Christ the Savior." That's a prophecy. That had been 900 years. Jesus had been hidden in prophecy. And so he unwraps it. And then Jesus was hidden in a virgin's womb for 9 months. And now he's hidden in human flesh. And God has come into the world. And he was hidden then. And God had to say, here it is. Here's the gift. Here's how to open it. What about us today? Well, it's a little different for us today, isn't it? The gift now is hidden in history. It's hidden in our history. Angels appearing, stars in the sky pointing to it, a virgin birth, God becoming a human being, growing up, dying on a cross for our sins, rising from the dead on the third day. To unwrap the gift, you got to believe that. You got to believe that's history, not just some a myth that people have made that want to believe it. You actually have to believe this happened. This happened in our history. C.S. Lewis, of course, he's known as the guy that wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, which many of you are familiar with. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. He said, if Christianity isn't true, it's not important. If it is true, it is infinitely important. But in no case is it moderately important. Paul said, listen, he's speaking to the Corinthians in chapter 15. He says, if this isn't true, if this didn't actually happen in history, if Jesus did not come, did not live, did not die a death, did not rise from the dead on the third day, then your faith is in vain. Actually, we're of most people to be pitied because we're living for something that is not true. He said, we're still in our sins and our faith is in vain. You have to believe this is history, that God actually broke into history. It can't be my truth. Well, Pastor Tom, that's your truth. That's not my truth. Guys, truth doesn't work that way. If it's true, it's got to be true for everybody. There isn't separate truths. You can't have 1 + 1 = 2 if you want it to be 2, and if you want it to be 3, then that's fine, and we don't judge you. No, truth is very narrow. This is either true or it's not. Now, to help you believe, just so you know, every time you write down the date, every time you say what day it is, you are remembering the Lord's birth. The reason why it's 2025 is because Jesus split time. 2025 years since Jesus came to this earth. You have to believe that this happened in history. To unwrap this gift, you don't need to just believe it happened in history. The gift is also hidden by our pride. So we have to humble ourselves and let God unwrap it for us. So in 2009, a movie came out called Partly Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And it came out in Madison in 3D. And my daughter, Anne, wanted to go. Nobody else did. And I'm like, honey, let's go. And you get to the theater, and they have to give you these glasses to see the movie. And you put these glasses on, and this movie is just amazing. And seeing a movie in 3D is just stunning. And of course, but every once in a while, I take the glasses. I want to see what it looks like without the glasses. And you take the glasses off, and you have no idea what's going on. It's just fog. It's just images. Something's happening, but it's all unclear. You have to put the glasses on. So Jesus says to the church at Laodicea, he said, you guys have become blind. He said, I'm standing at the door knocking. He said, and I have eye salve so that you can see. You can see what is true. You don't see yourself. You don't see. You have become blind by your own pride. You say we need nothing, and it has blinded you to your desperate need to what the truth is about you. And so he's knocking at the door, and he says, I have these glasses. And honestly, for Christmas to become unwrapped for you, God has to put glasses on you. You have to get glasses to see the spiritual world, to see yourself, how God sees you. Well, let me tell you this about this movie that I saw last year. So it's called The Greatest Christmas Pageant Ever. It came out in 2024. And it's about the herdsmen's. The herdsmen are the worst children in town. There are 5 of them. They smoke, they drink, they cuss, they're bullies, they're mean. Everybody's afraid of them. The worst is Imogene. She is the meanest girl, and everybody's afraid of this. But the story is their dad left them when they were young, and their mom is never home. She has to work all the time just to keep food on the table, which is never enough, and so they're always hungry. And so the herdsmen's find out that they are serving treats at Sunday school. So they all decide to go to church. They've never been to a church before, and they come to church. They're in Sunday school to get these treats. Well, it happens to be the same day that they're casting for the Christmas pageant. And they all raise their hands, and everyone else is afraid to raise their hands. So the lady that is casting the play has no choice except to put them in all of the main roles. Imogene has been cast as Mary, and no family in town will allow their baby to be the little baby Jesus. So they have to use a doll So I will just read to you what happened from Wikipedia. On the opening night of the Christmas pageant, the townsfolk are surprised by the herdsmen's, whose unconventional performances actually make the whole show much more realistic and moving. Instead of walking on and off stage like actors, the siblings are a little uncertain about where to go and what to do, as the real-life holy family and wise men must have been. Instead of laying the doll, Jesus, in the manger, Imogene insists on holding it as if it is really her child. The wise men choose to bring the baby Jesus a ham from the herdsman's own gift basket instead of the crummy frankincense and myrrh from the story. The shepherds are sufficiently terrified of Gladys to look authentically awed by her announcement of Jesus' birth. And during the final scene, Beth looks over from the choir and is dumbstruck to see Imogene weeping softly while hugging the baby. By common agreement, it is the best Christmas pageant the town has ever heard. Everyone was sure it would be the worst Christmas pageant. Everyone was sure that the herdsmen were imposters. This isn't for them. But when Imogene hears the story and they're singing Silent Night, all of a sudden heaven comes in and touches her with the truth. This is about God's love for people. She's not an imposter. This is what this is for. This is for all the people. God doesn't love religious people. God loves people. Well, however you're broken, however long you've been broken, however dark it has been, here is one unchangeable thing. God loves you. The good news of great joy is for you. So in 1981, I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. I was in college at the time. I had been in a drunken weekend with my friends in Whitewater. I was back now in Madison. I was going to the UW. I was in my dorm room, and events had happened that I realized my friends were not really friends. I was really all alone. And I'm sitting in my dorm room. I'm contemplating my life, contemplating the purpose of my life. And there is a knock at the door. I open it, and it's this guy who talked to me about Jesus all the time. We called them Jesus freaks. Jesus freaks were people that talked about Jesus when it wasn't church. And he said, "Can we talk?" And I said, "Yeah, let's talk." We go down to his room, and he takes me through this little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws. And the first one was God loves you and has a plan for your life. The second one was that we've sinned against God and that our sin separates us from God. The third one is that Christ came and died on the cross to bring us back to God. Well, I grew up in church, so I was very familiar with all three of these first three things. That's what we believed at our church. Fourth one I hadn't seen before. The fourth one is that Jesus stands at the door and only knocks. You have to open the door. You have to make a response. God can lead you there, but you have to make a response. And to give what the response was, there were two circles at the end, and one had a big S on the throne. There was a little throne in the middle of the circle, and there was a big S, and that stood for self. And then there were dots, and the dots represented the goals and purposes of your life. And the dots are all different sizes. They're all confused in this circle. And then there's a little cross on the outside, and it stands for a life that self is on the throne, and it's a mess, and Jesus is on the outside. And the second circle has the cross is right on the throne, and there's a small s. Self is submissive to Christ, and the dots are all lined up. There's peace in this life. There's order to this life. And he says, which of these two circles is your life? And for all of my religion, for all of my self-righteousness, there was no question that self was right in the middle of my life, and that I was a mess. I was all those mixed up dots. I'd just been contemplating it when he came knocking. And I said, that's the one. And he said, which one do you want it to be? And that's the question. Which one do you want it to be? Jesus came in humility and vulnerability into this world. And God has ordered it that no one comes into his kingdom except by being humble and vulnerable. He knocks. He knocks. He's like, there's no sin for being blind. You just got to recognize you're blind. And just Jesus is knocking. Listen to that knock. And you open that door and he will make it all real. He's done it for me all of these years.